Aren't you glad to be here? Let me see your hands. All right, it's good to be here tonight. See, John's with us tonight, Brother John Lane. And somebody extended the curtains out a little bit. You can be seated. Brother Nick's back with us tonight. I heard Brother Jared talking a little bit out there, and Brother Gilbert, and truthfully, what they're saying is right. It's very truthful. As a matter of fact, if the people around this area had any idea what was happening, everybody in the area, good and bad, would be out. They would be here, good and bad. They would be here. You couldn't even get close to this place. But the Lord has, as we say a lot of times, the Lord has hid it from the eyes of the wise and hid it from the eyes of the prudent that they might not know. He has hid it from them that they might not know, because if people knew what this meeting had to do with here, those that are not lined up with the Lord, you'd have to put them in a straitjacket. They'd lose their minds. Your minds would snap on them. That's how important this meeting is, and that's how great the thing is that it has to do with in us being here at Cleveland. I know that many of you don't see that, and I'm not going to try to press on you that you should see it. The many great things that's happened from meeting to meeting in different places, to different places, I know that you've not seen it, and I understand that. No fuss about it, not trying to make you see anything or feel little because you don't see it. You know, a thing can only be received, you know, if the Lord allows a person to have it. It can only be given to them if it be given to them of Christ. So we don't have anything to say one way or another about it. But what I tell you is the truth, so help me God. I hope the Lord will take my life before I speak another word if those things aren't true. It's just that great and that mighty, and if those things were not true, then I would be subject to be cast into the lake of fire, for all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. And if I was a preacher and would stand here and exaggerate in any such way and lie, then I would go into the lake of fire. But what I'm telling you is true. If the people knew about it, if they understood what this was, everybody in the area, good and bad, small and great, rich and poor, would be here. They'd make their way here. Not only here, but people from all over the world, if they had any idea of this little meeting and what was happening, they'd be getting here just as fast as they could. Not that it would do them any good as to be here in any special way, other than the fact that they need to be right with the Lord wherever they're at. But because of the significance of the things that's taking place and what the Lord is doing, that's why we say what we do. I told my wife, I said, now they'll probably have the music tonight, because tonight has to do with a different thing altogether from what the first two nights had to do with. And I said, they'll probably have the music tonight. And I see that they've got it. This thing has to do with such a great, phenomenal thing until I just don't have the words of expression, you know, to tell you what it does have to do with. I can't do anything but just like you know, share in a little bit of the things that God is trying to do. First, I'd like to say this. We're all here, I trust, for one purpose, and that's to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm no more than you, and you're no more than I am. We're just children of God, and I'm less than nothing, less than the least of you. And I'm not here because I'm great or I'm special. I'm just a nobody. I'm a nothing. But I am here because the Lord sent me here. And I'm nothing outstanding. I do good to keep my own wife. So I'm not outstanding at all. I'm just somebody passing through. That's all. A lot of people that's more attractive and more exuberant and got more to offer than I have, you know, when it comes to personality, when it comes to being something. But There's one thing that I'm persuaded to believe, and this is the truth from my heart as far as I know. I don't believe there's anybody in the world that's living today that's more acquainted with the Lord Jesus than I am in His plan and what He wants to do. I don't believe there is. It might be. You know, I've traveled all over the world and I've not met them. I've traveled all over the different parts of the world. I'm here to the land of the midnight sun, and we've ministered all over the different parts of the world. And if there is, I've never met them. I've met some great men that know a lot of great things, and I don't say that I'm any farther along than they are, but I'm just saying that I have got acquainted with God and I have got acquainted with some things, and I've come to know some things that I'm so thankful to God that He has let me know. And I've compared notes with many great men throughout the world just to see what they know and understand, and I'm just so grateful to God that I am who I am and what I am by the grace of God. That's all. That's all. So I'm grateful, I'm thankful. Nothing special. I've never been a special husband. I've never been a special father to my children. I've just always been kind of a common fellow, just about the average, you know, and it makes me feel mighty little sometimes. I feel so unnecessary sometimes. And I feel like that the world could get along without me altogether, and everybody could get along without me altogether. But somehow or another, I know that I'm called of the Lord to do something, and have been doing it for years now, making an effort. And still, I still feel the weight of the entire world on my shoulders as to what the Lord has asked me to do or told me to do. And I'm still trying to do my little bit. I've been watching the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been beautiful. I spoke of this night. I spoke of this meeting. I've shared just a little bit with my companion and different ones as I have a chance to talk to them. And about the greatness of what's taking place and why we're here and why the Lord would bring this tent and what this tent has to do with. And what today, what tonight has to do with this especially being something that is outstanding in the sight of God. So, I'm thankful. You know, Helen is a beautiful little place. And there's no doubt some of the most wonderful people in the world here. But on the other hand, Helen is fast becoming one of the most corruptible places in the nation and maybe in the entire world. As a matter of fact, the place that we're staying up here in the mountains, the lady told us today, she come up in shorts, and when she found out I was a minister and found out what we stood for, she said, "I am so ashamed." She said, "You know, this country where we are right here," said, it's been referred to in the past as God's country, but said in the last number of years, said it has become vile and wretched and corrupt. And she spoke of Helen, and she said, that is one of the worst places. Said it seems to be the cause, the major cause of the corruption. And she began to tell how that things wasn't even allowed in the area until all those things began to develop. And it's drawing people from everywhere. See, and men and women have gone hard after their passions until they've gone crazy. They've got slap out of their minds. And they can't dress properly anymore. They can't think straight anymore. The oppressions are just driving them crazy to eat and to drink. And they get a little time off of their jobs or different places. And then they go out. And when they go out, then they can't contain themselves anymore. They just feel like they've got to go native. When they get out and get a few hours, they just go native. They don't have any sense anymore. You know, but I thank God that I can leave my house and go off into the mountains, be a Christian when I leave and be a Christian when I go back. You know, I thank God that I can enjoy the wonderful scenery of God and the things that God has made and created. And I don't guess anybody gets hurt any more than I do. I'm real easy hurt because I'm real tender in my heart. I've been that way all my life, even when I was a boy. Get hurt real easy, and I guess I get hurt so much, you know, through my loved ones and through my wife and through my friends and my children. I get hurt so much until a lot of times I would have just pulled off and I'd become like a hermit. I wouldn't have lived with my wife, and I wouldn't have lived with my children. I wouldn't have stayed around them because they hurt me so much, not meaning to. They hurt me, and I'm still that way today. But I found out one thing, that if we're going to be tender before Christ, then that means that we're going to have to be hurt a lot of times. To stay tender is to be hurt a lot of times. But if you're not tender, then that means that you're not going to make that communication with God and that connection with God that you need to make. Now, let me say this to you tonight, just before we read the Scripture. I'd like to say that many people could be used greatly of the Lord if they were more spiritual, if they could understand a little more spiritual. You know, if they could be spiritual. Paul said to speak unto you as unto spiritual. If we could get away from carnality just a little bit and get a little more spiritual. See, God is a spirit, and God is dealing with your innermost being. He's not dealing with your outer man. He's dealing with your innermost being. Someone would say, Brother Pike, God is dealing with my outer man. No, the Bible said the flesh profiteth nothing. God is not interested in that at all. It's to pass away. It's to be done away with. That's not God's interest. God is dealing with your innermost being. God is after your spirit. God is a spirit. And God is after your spirit. And so is Satan after your spirit. Satan is also after your spirit. And demon spirits, which are fallen angels, they are also after your spirit. See, to get your spirit is to take over this little tabernacle that's called a body. And if those spirits can get your spirit, they can move into your tabernacle and they can dishonor the name of the Lord. They can dishonor you. They can dishonor everything. They can blaspheme the name of the Lord, and they can use this little tabernacle to get out of those dry places. They're wandering through the dry places seeking rest and can't find it. And they're looking for a little tabernacle. And if they can master your spirit, they can go into your tabernacle and they can make you strip off your clothes and just go nude. Or they can make you defile yourself one with another, even man and wife. Or they can make you do the abase things that you would never do, that would be so ugly and hideous in your eyes. But if these spirits can get into your body, they can do that. And did you know there are millions of spirits that are entering into the human family and have already entered into the human family? Millions of spirits. You know, if you had discernment of the spirit and you would just go up here to a place like Helen and just sit there and watch, you would discern hundreds and thousands of demon spirits walking in human bodies to and fro. You would discern it. Now, you that don't have any discernment, you never know anything about that. But you that have discernment, you could go there. I go into the church. I come into this place tonight. And unless the Lord should hide it from me, I can discern spirits here that would come under this tabernacle that are dwelling in human bodies, religious spirits, and different kind of spirits, demon spirits of all kind, that would come in under this tent and come to this gathering right here to hear what was being said concerning the end of the world. Well, they also are afraid. The Bible said, if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes and trembles. See, just being a believer, as I said last night, don't mean that you're saved. Just believing don't mean you can be saved by just believing. That doesn't mean you can be saved. See, just believing, that's not enough. A preacher might preach to you and say, all you've got to do is believe and you're going to be all right. But that's not right. See, mere believing is not faith. If you believe, so does the devil. But that doesn't mean the devil is saved. Nor does it mean that the devil's got faith. But see, faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. By the hearing of the Word of God. That's where faith comes from. So then, that's why we preach the Word. He that God sendeth will speak God's Word. Let's read just a little bit from Samuel here. From 2 Samuel. And let's just see how a devil can do. Just how easy a devil can undermine you. Chapter 12, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hath taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, and before the sun." And David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David. And it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, "Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead?" But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." Then David arose from the earth, and washed, and anointed himself, and changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, "What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread." And he said, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." I want to point out something here. Notice the thing that God charged David with. One thing was murder. He stole a man's wife, and then he killed the man with a sword, by the sword of his enemy. And in the 14th verse, Nathan the prophet said, "God has put away your sins, David." Said, "But because of what you did, howbeit by this deed, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme." He said, "Because of what you did, you've given occasion to the enemy to blaspheme and to speak against the things of God. By the things that you did, David," he said, "you have give occasion to the enemy round and about to blaspheme and to speak against the kingdom of God. You've reproached me, David." He said, "You've despised my commandment, David." And then he went farther than that. He said, "By doing this, David, you despised me." And he said, "You have given occasion to the enemy to blaspheme my name and to come against Israel as a nation." So then he said, "Because you have done this thing, I put away your sins, but because you have done this thing," he said, "that child is going to die." And he said, "Not only that, David, not only is death going to strike your house,
But he said, David, because you did that, he said, the sword is never going to depart out of your house. He said, you're going to have problems even out of those people that follow you. Those that are within the kingdom, David. He said, some of them is going to rise up and give you trouble, whereas they did. Joab did. Others did. He said, and they're going to give you trouble because you did what you did. He said, because, David, in doing what you did, then you caused the enemy to reproach me. And you gave room for them to speak against the great, mighty Israel of God. And folks, this is what God is saying to you and I tonight. We may think that God is going to let us by with our wrongs. We do these things out in the world. We do the things that's contrary to God. And we go to and fro in our own way. We make our own plans and we fail to acknowledge the Lord in our ways. And we do these things and we don't feel bad about them. And we say, there's nothing wrong with this. You know, God doesn't care what we do. God is in heaven and we're on the earth. And God doesn't see me and God doesn't care what I do. See, and we go on and do it. And we might really be a believer. We might really be trying to follow God. But we get careless. We don't fast. We don't pray. We don't withdraw from the world. We don't get out of the things of the world to come out from among them as the Bible has commanded us to do. To be a separate people. So then in doing this, we reproach the Lord, and this is where we get in trouble. We're the great Israel of God. The Bible tells us that he that is a Jew naturally, he's not a Jew, but he that is a Jew inwardly, he that is a Jew spiritually. So then we're God's great Israel. And here we are trying to go on with God and do something for God, and then we get careless. The first news you know, the devil catches us in a trap. We fail to pray. We fail to fast. We fail to give ourselves totally and completely unto God. And we just bobble about. And we find ourselves in wretched circumstances. And then we say, well, God doesn't care. God didn't feel bad about that. And we'll get by with it. God will forgive us for that. And sure enough, as David, God forgave him. David done his wrong, and sure enough, God forgave him. The prophet Nathan came to David and said, sure enough, David, God's going to forgive you. Sure enough, he's put your sins away from you. You don't have to worry about it. You're not going to die, David. God isn't going to kill you. God's put your sins away from you. But listen, folks, a lot of times when we feel real good, we go to God and we ask God to forgive us. And so then God does forgive us. And God takes our sins and puts our sins away from us. He doesn't take our life. He doesn't kill us. See, and we find ourselves and we say, find ourselves in a wretched circumstance, but we say, God, forgive us. And so God forgives us. And we feel the wonderful Spirit of God again. We feel the wonderful presence of God again. We can feel the moving of the Spirit. And somebody says, hallelujah, God forgave my sin. God didn't count it against me. I'm feeling fine. Nothing to worry about. Everything's all right. Hallelujah, I'm still God's. That proves that I'm still God's and I'm still going strong. So we shout. We have a good time. We go right on to church and we think everything's all right. See, David, I've forgiven your sins. I put your sins away. I'm not going to let you die. And so David felt like everything was all right. But see, the prophet Nathan said, thus saith the Lord, David, you've given place to my enemy. You've caused my enemy to be able to come against Israel. You've caused the enemy to get in my way. You have hindered my work, David. You've hindered the move of God. And so then, David, though I've taken away your sins, he said, thus saith the Lord, David, he said, you're going to have problems. You're going to have trouble. Folks, I tell you tonight, God may forgive your sins and God may put it away. But I'll tell you, God is no respecter of person. God will cause you to come into the presence of your enemy and have to bow down to your enemy and do obeisance unto your enemy because of the evil that you've done in his sight. He'll bring you into the chains. He'll bring you into the prison. He'll bring you into the places where you can't get loose. And you'll find yourself under obligation to those that are in the world. You'll find yourself doing servitude unto those out there because you didn't go with God. You didn't walk with God. You didn't strengthen your hand in God. You didn't fast. You didn't pray. And you find yourself out there away from God and under these cruel bondages of the beggarly elements of the world. There's people that are sitting here tonight. You are bound hand and feet by the world. And you thought you made a good deal. And you thought you made a good choice. And you backed off from the things of God. Isn't that right? You backed off from the things of God and you chose your way of life. And you went your way of life. and now you're in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world. You can't. You have to work every day of your life and as servants of tribute just to pay the bills. No time to worship God. Got to make more brick. Got to make more brick down in Egypt. Can't get away to worship God. And all the time going farther and farther into that. Getting stronger and stronger in the web. Being wrapped up more and more in the web. And here you are just springing up and down and you think you're really doing something. And you think you've gotten by with your frivolous doings and your wrongs. Not knowing that those things led you into the web. And now you're bound tight and you're getting bound tighter and tighter. So you're seeking the prestige of the world and you're seeking money and fame and popularity. You're seeking to be something out yonder in the world. You're not seeking the mind of God. You're seeking the educational system of the world. You're seeking something out there in the world instead of seeking after God. Why do you do that? Folks, we don't need that. We've got God. God's our Savior. God's our potion. God's our reward. Why do we want to get out there in the world? Why do we want to do those things in the world? I don't want the world. The world has nothing to offer me. See, I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. Why should I get entangled with the beggarly elements of this world? Isn't Lucifer the god of this world? Isn't Lucifer the god of this world? Doesn't he run things like he wants to in this world? Can you do any different? He does it like he wants to. God has given it into his hands. He told the Lord Jesus, he said, it's given into my hands to give to whomsoever I will. And yet, beloved friend, you don't have to go out there. God will give you everything that you need. God will run it through the filter of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll run it through the mind of Christ, and God will give you the desires of your heart. The Bible said if you'll delight yourself in him, he'll make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. He'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob. His blessing will make you rich, and there won't be any sorrow that's added with it. The Bible said, and you'll be like a tree that's planted by the waters, and you'll bring forth your fruit in your season, and your leaves won't wither, and whatsoever you do shall prosper. You don't have to be in the world. See, I don't have to be in the world. Why should I be in the world? I've got God. See, why should I tear loose from the children of God? Why should I get more entangled with the things of the world? Paul said, why do you indulge in those things? Do you desire again after that you've come to the knowledge of the truth to be in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world? Oh, beloved friend, let me tell you something. God will give you anything that you want. God will bless you with anything you want. You don't have to go out there. As a matter of fact, I guess this is a good place to say it. Tonight, this brother here that's made contacts as far as California to bring me a $28,000 Lincoln. Just unveiled it out there and set it out there to give it to me. Give me the papers. Or he gave them to my wife. Gave me the papers on it. Numbers of times in my life, I've been given Cadillacs, been given Lincolns, been given all kinds of things, properties and whatever. Not because I desired them, not because I sought them, not because I want them, because I want Jesus. I want God. That's what I want. I love Christ. I want Christ. I want more of God in my life. Amen. See, we're children of God. We own everything. We own everything in this world. We own the world. We are the sons of God. We are the sons and daughters of God. See, everything is ours. I had a night vision last night. And in the night vision last night, the Lord came to me and showed me that I'd come to a place in him that I could have whatever I said. And in the vision, I was saying some things, and I said, Lord, I want this to happen. And I said, God, I want it to happen right now, God, I want it to happen. Just like that, it began to happen. And I remember the vision I had as we were coming off the ship. Remember coming off our ship down there in Appalachia, pulled in there, been out to sea about 3 days, there, got in there around the Rainbow Motel, and I saw this great vision where this great spirit entered into me, walking along beside me, and all of a sudden it entered into me. And when it entered into me, all of a sudden something said, now this is great and terrible, because whatever you speak will come to pass. It'll come to pass. And you remember what I said about it? There I thought in the vision, I looked at this great bridge. It goes from Appalachia over to East Point there. And I looked at it and I thought, my God, if I just say for that bridge to be there no more, it won't be there anymore. And I thought, oh my God, I done thought it now. Lord, I done said it. Oh my God. That means the bridge will be gone. And folks, I know this don't sound right, but this is the truth according to what I understand. When I come out of the vision, That bridge has been there for many, many multiplied years. And then they told me just recently, said they're taking that bridge down after all these many years, and they're putting a skyway across there. And the skyway is dropping exactly where we set our tent down there. See, God doesn't want you to walk in the world. Hallelujah. God wants you to walk with Him. Glory to God. Let's give God a hand. Hallelujah. God wants you to walk with Him. He doesn't want you to get out in the world. Because you belong to God. I'm no different from you. You're no different from me. I stumble. I stagger. I make mistakes. Seems to me like I make more than anybody else. Seems to me like I really stagger and stumble along. See, so I'm no different from you. But there's one thing about it. I love Jesus. I love Jesus with all of my heart. I love Jesus. I want to walk in the ways of the Lord. See, God loved David. God said, David, look what I did for you. He said, I gave you everything. I took Saul's kingdom. I took Israel. I took Judah. And I gave it all to you, David. I raised you up and I put you over all of it. See, and I gave you every bit of it. And David, why did you do me like that? Why did you despise me? Why did you do that thing? Folks, has God cut you short of anything? Hasn't God given you the desires of your heart? Hasn't God blessed you? You might say, well, Brother Pike, God hasn't blessed me the way He's blessed you. But let me ask you a question. You know, maybe He hasn't blessed you like He's blessed some folks. But have you blessed God like some folks have blessed God? See, have you drawn in close to God? Have you tried to walk with God? Have you tried to tell God that you're exclusively Christ's? Have you tried to get away from the world? Have you tried to walk in the ways of holiness? Have you tried to fill your heart with the glories of God? Have you been someone that's tried to do just exactly the way that God wanted you to do? Have you loved the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your strength, with all of your mind? Have you practiced trying to love your neighbor as yourself? Have you done that, folks? See, have you tried to draw close to Christ? The Bible said, draw close to God, draw near to God, and God will draw nigh to you. Have you tried to do that? Have you tried to purify your mind and get your thoughts to where you could cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, to meditate in the laws of God day and night? Have you done that? Somebody says, Brother Pike, I'm still in poverty. Well, there can't be but one reason. That's because of your unbelief. That's because of your unbelief. Somebody say, no, Brother Pike. Oh, yes, it is. Jesus said, it shall come to pass that you can say what you will, and I will do it. Jesus said, ask what you will, and I will do it. And the Bible says in the book of Mark that if I say anything in His name, and if I don't doubt it in my heart, and I believe what I say, then I'll have whatever I say. And whatever I say will come to pass. You believe that? It's absolutely a profound fact. Why don't you try it sometime? Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I don't believe that. Have you ever tried it? Oh, somebody said, I tried it. Have you really tried it? Have you made an effort to really live for God and to walk with God and to prepare your heart toward Christ? The Bible said, decree a thing in your heart and it'll come to pass. Have you ever really tried to decree anything in your heart to see if God will give it to you? I challenge you tonight to try. I challenge you to try taking your heart before God, asking God to condition your heart, and then decreeing a thing in your heart, and then standing by it, not changing your mind, not wavering, standing by it, and see if God don't do it. Oh, you say, Brother Pike, God just won't do that. I know He will do it because I've done it again and again and again. Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, that can't be. It's so, children of God, it's so. It's so. And I say again, I stumble and I stagger. I'm no different from you. I used to think, you know, to get something from God, you had to be a special kind of person. I thought you just had to be, you know, in a special place with God like nobody else was. And one day I heard God very clearly speak to me, and He said, what about Elijah? He said, wasn't he a man of like passion, the same as you are? Didn't he have his problems? Didn't he run from Jezebel? Didn't he make mistakes? Didn't he have problems just like you've got? And I got to thinking about that. And the Bible said he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it didn't rain. And he prayed for rain, and the rain came. Have you ever prayed for rain? I was down in Mexico not too long ago. I went down there, and they said, Brother Pike, it's dry. Said, it's bad. Said, the people are in bad shape. Said, we've got to have some water. I said, well, we'll just pray to God, and God will give us some rain. God will give us some rain. So, some man, he thought it was real cute. He said, he thought he was being real smart. So he said, okay, rain. He said, I want rain by, I think he gave me 5 days. I want rain by then. If you can't get it by then, you better not show your face around. Well, that didn't make me feel too good. I didn't feel too good about the thing. I didn't say much to him. When you're down there, you don't say much anyway if you're in the right place, you know. I didn't say much to him, but I went back and I prayed to God. I said, God, I didn't like what that man said. I said, he gave me, I believe, 5 days for rain. I said, God, I want rain in 4 days. So in 4 days, God sent rain. When that man came back around, he said, Mr. Pike, Reverend Pike, God gave rain. The man was shook up because they just had reported. They'd give a report and they said there will need no rain. And they numbered the days. No rain. This is the no rain season. And there will be no rain. And the place was dry. But beloved friend, God gave rain and it rained and it rained and it rained and it rained. And I got a letter the other day and they said, Brother Pike, it's still raining in Mexico. Hallelujah. So then, God can help us. And you know what, folks? I prayed not too long ago, God give some rain here. And it had been real dry. And God gave some rain. And I prayed again. And God gave some more rain. But did you know God showed me a vision? It's been numbers of months ago, and I spoke to the people about it. And in this vision, God showed me a great drought. He showed me at this time that a man was going to die, pass away. At this time of the great drought, that this man, he was a young man, wasn't very old. But this man passed away, just exactly like the Lord showed me. That man passed away. I looked, and he wasn't there. He was gone. All of a sudden, he had a heart attack and went out just like that. Then in this vision, it was horrible. God showed me this great drought that was about to strike, and I spoke to the people about it. And did you know, it's already struck. It struck. They say that this is the worst drought they've had in more than 105 years. Within 105 years, they tell me that even in this area, they've got a lake or someplace over here that's dropped 15 feet. Water gone. Why? Because it is the days that God spoke of, where he spoke of the time of Jezebel, and he spoke of the time of Elijah, and he spoke of that time of holding the water back from heaven. See, we're entered into a certain period now, into a certain age now. God is weary with people. God doesn't grow weary, only with people. He's weary with people. They weary God with their foolishness. And God is weary of this thing. See, he keeps preaching. He keeps preaching. He keeps telling them. It wasn't the days of Noah. The Bible said, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man, that they shall be eating and they shall be drinking. And the Bible said, they shall be marrying, they shall be given in marriage. As it was in the days of Noah, all flesh had corrupted its way before God. And so then here we are in that hour. See, just as it was before the judgment of God fell, all flesh had corrupted its way before God. You know that we used to have some people that just would not corrupt themselves before God. They just wouldn't do it. There was women that would be ladies. They would try to dress right. There were men that held up certain standards. But did you know, I don't know of anybody, any place anymore that makes any special effort unless it's a real, genuine God person that's following something in Christ. I don't know of any place in the world, even Israel. We went into Israel. And Israel, the great land of God, is in corruption. I stood there in Israel, in the Holy Land. I stood there. My wife and I, one night, got a place over at the little palace hotel, just away from the walls of Israel. And there, while Betty was asleep, I got up to pray. And while I was praying, it's my practice to try to pray through the night, because that's about the only time you can really get along with the God. And I walked out on the little veranda of the palace hotel. I eased the little glass door too. And I stood out there and I looked over Israel. And as I looked over Israel, it was so beautiful. It was so pretty. Over in the morning, whenever it was, I thought it's so lovely. And as I stood there looking at it, I thought, Lord, this is so beautiful. My lovely Israel. Beautiful Israel. And I heard a voice just as clear. And God said, Sodom and Gomorrah. And I said, oh my God, I can't let that pass through my mind. Oh my God, what was that? I said, beautiful Israel, beautiful Israel. And I heard that voice again, said, Sodom and Gomorrah. and said, I'll lay it even with the ground. I said, my God, you mean to tell me, God, that Israel is Sodom and Gomorrah? That Jerusalem is Sodom and Gomorrah? I said, my God, how can that be? I heard a voice speak to me very clearly. He said, and the place where our Savior was crucified, which is spiritually called Sodom. I said, my God, oh God, I said, you mean to tell me that this place is in corruption and all of the world is in corruption the way that I know it to be? I thought, God, this was the holy place. But folks, let me tell you, people from all over the world, everywhere, are trampling down the courts of Israel. And God said to me, I want you to do thus and thus. And the morning light came, and I knowed my wife wouldn't understand. I knowed she wouldn't understand. The brethren that was with me, I know that they wouldn't understand. I took a little robe, and I folded that little robe up. We were supposed to go down into the city of Jerusalem that day. We've been traveling around. I traveled all over the Holy Land. You know, without a guide, I just go over there and we go ourselves and trust the Lord. And I knew they wouldn't understand, so I took me a little robe and I throwed it in the valise or whatever it was, went down into the city, got down inside the walls. And when we got down there, I thought, Lord God, how in the world am I going to ever tell my wife what I'm doing? I thought, if I start down the streets of Jerusalem here, they're liable to stone me to death. Because the Bible teaches that they'll stone you, and they do it. They're still over there. We had stones thrown at us while we was over there. You remember Jimmy Carter went over there. They throwed stones at him. So then I thought, God, what am I going to do? I thought, I can't take my wife and children down the streets here. I don't know what they'll do to me, and I can't explain to my wife. So what I did, I just turned around to my wife after we parked inside the walls. I turned around to my wife and the people that was with me, and I spoke real hard to them. I know it hurt their feelings. I didn't try to hurt their feelings, but I spoke real hard. I said, you stay here now. Don't you follow me. And it just tore them up because I never talked to folks like that, you know, as a rule, and especially my wife. And so Betty, she was so shocked, she didn't know what to do. So I walked on ahead of her. And as I walked, I slipped on the robe. And the Lord had dealt with me to go down the streets of Dolorosa. And as I got the little robe on, I walked, and people were saying things to me here and saying things to me there. I didn't say nothing to them. I didn't speak back to them. When I got to the streets of Dolorosa, I lifted my voice up just like a trumpet. I shouted aloud and I said, the time is fulfilled. And I began to prophesy up and down the streets of Dolorosa, and people were shook up. It almost staggered people. They stared at me. They didn't know what to say. It was so shocking because I was screaming to the top of my voice, and I just kept on walking and kept on prophesying, and different ones running up or whatever. Now the time was fulfilled, and folks, let me tell you, the time is fulfilled. That's what this has to do with us being up here at Cleveland at this time. The time is fulfilled. Christ is about ready to break the heavens and come back and pick up the church. And this up here has a great significance in us being here in this place called Cleveland. Up and down the streets of Dolorosa, prophesying, God says that the time is fulfilled. And you need to repent and believe the gospel or accept the Lord Jesus Christ and get your life straightened out with the Lord. Folks, we're at a turning point. A great thing is about to happen. God's making a new move in the earth. And God is calling. God is calling. God is calling the church of God. God is calling the assemblies of God. And God's calling the Pentecostal Holiness. And God's calling the UPC. And God's calling the Presbyterian. And God's calling the Baptist. And God's calling all of the people. All of the religious people. God is calling the Catholics. This charismatic move that's moving through the land, it's going right into the Catholic Church. We made a prediction that that would happen, and it is happening on time, just exactly the way that God said it would happen. And we said that the Pope would grab it up, that they would make a fuss over it, and that thing would sweep the earth, and people would be swallowed up in it, and they're doing exactly that. What is it? The end of the world. What does this little meeting have to do with here in Cleveland? The end of the world. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, what in the name of reasoning are you talking about? Why, everybody would know about it, Brother Pike. Let me tell you something, folks. When Jesus was born in a manger, everybody didn't know about it. When Jesus was born in a manger, everybody didn't know about it. God does something. Everybody doesn't know about it. But you'll be glad that you do know. If you're involved in it and God gives you a chance to know, then you'll be thankful that you do know. Brother Pike's glad tonight that God would share a little something with me. See, everybody doesn't know, But I'll tell you what, it's your duty and it's my duty to spread out and tell people, have the boldness of spirit, have the boldness of God to do it. See, to walk as I did down the streets of Dolorosa, walk down the streets of Helen, walk down the streets of Monroe, walk down the streets of Atlanta, Georgia. Doesn't matter where it's at. Walk down the streets, you say, oh, Brother Pike. But they'd laugh at me, they'd mock me. What difference does that make? What's that got to do with it? They mock each other anyway. It doesn't matter. They're going to mock you. What difference does it make? The thing is, you're doing it for Jesus. They suffered shame for his name. Dressed like a lady. Who cares what they think out there? Ah, dear God, you dress like a lady and you go by a pig's pen. And a bunch of pigs wallowing in the mud starts grunting. And you say, oh my, I feel insulted. Them pigs grunted at me. Can you imagine anybody doing anything like that? Then you go back by a bunch of dogs. And the dogs start howling, moaning, and going on. You say, oh my God, I'm insulted. Them dogs didn't receive me right. Folks, you're of God's, the Bible said. Sons of God, daughters of God. And here we are supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to be representing God as the first lady, as the first man, as the first gentleman of this generation. And we're supposed to be able to stand up for God. Hallelujah. The Bible said when they were beat there, you know, they beat them with whips and they'd done all these kind of things. They went away counting all joy. And the Bible said that they rejoiced. Hallelujah. Have you ever suffered shame for his name? Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's give him another hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So then God does forgive our sins. He's very kind. He's very good. Has God ever forgiven you of any wrongs? He's forgiven me many times of my wrongs. But see, this is the thing that we fail to understand, children of God. Though God doesn't charge us with death, though God doesn't let these things happen to us as to take us off of the scene, He doesn't send us to hell when we stumble. But remember, we give occasion to his enemy to blaspheme him. And we give strength to the enemy to come against the church. And we give place to the powers of evil out there that they might criticize and say something against the wonderful, holy people of God. Seeing that God's got to deal with them in judgment because they come against us. And yet they've got grounds for saying things. But see, their complaints can't be justified as to anybody laying anything to our charge because we are pure, without blame, without sin before God. We keep ourselves in the evil one, touch of the knot. But because we allow that, then God has to deal with them people because they make statements against the holy people of God. And you're to blame. So then God has to chasten you. All of a sudden you get your chastisement. See, you've done wrong. God didn't kill you. God didn't put you in hell. But then the new car you wanted, you didn't get. That nice home that you was in line for, you didn't get. All of a sudden you got some kind of disease in your body and you're just under fear all the time. You're afraid you're going to die. Oh, there's somebody over here giving you trouble. You just can't, your enemies won't be at peace with you. God said, David, the sword never will depart out of your house. That means, David, there'll always be war. Somebody will always cause war with you because you committed murder and took your neighbor's wife. So then God speaks to you and I. And God said, now you've got to pay for it. You might pay for it like David with the loss of a little child. There it was, that darling little child. See, taken away. Nathan said, thus saith the Lord, David, because of your sins, that little one's going to die. You might call on the Lord. And you might do like David. David was about 7 days before God in supplication, saying, oh my God, don't do that. Don't do that. But see, God couldn't hear David. God couldn't get to David. David had brought judgment upon the house of Israel. And David had brought the sword of God down upon Israel because of his evil. And God had allowed it because Israel had backslid. Israel had done wrong. And we see as we follow on through, it wasn't just David. After a while, things struck Israel and there was trouble in the camp. There was problems. So then God is telling you tonight, God is telling me tonight, that I've got to do right. I've got to pay for those things. Every transgression must be paid for. The Bible said if angels who are greater in power and might, if God dealt with them after this manner, and made them pay for every transgression, how shall you escape if you neglect the great salvation? We that dwell in these little tabernacles down here, how are we going to get by with it if the angels of God can't get by with it? Remember, the fallen angels are looking for a place to hide. They're wandering through the dry places. They can't find rest. They're seeking rest and can't find it. They're examining your tabernacle. They're examining my tabernacle. They're looking for people in the earth that's not filled with the Holy Spirit. People that are not sanctified. People that are not walking on with God. They're looking. And just as soon as they find an open mind and a careless person, into that body they go. And the first news you know, you may wind up in a padded cell. You may lose your health. You may lose your mind. You may be as it was. Bill sitting around here, we spoke of a man that was his leader while he was in service. We spoke of this man, how did he cross God? And I said, God will get him for that, Bill. I said, God will get him. He was a young, sober leader in the army, a man of prestige in the city. But all of a sudden, God hit him like that and he lost his mind. He completely lost his mind. He come against Bill. And God spoke to me about him, and we spoke of him. And the man lost his mind. Lost his mind. See, demon spirits have a right to you if you reject the leadership of God and the Word of God. If you're not sanctified and set apart, then they'll come. The Bible said even if you get sanctified, if you don't get filled with the lovely Holy Spirit, that seven or eight of them devils will get together. And they'll come over there in their power and strength, and they'll force their way into your body, and they'll take over your body, and there's no telling what you will do. Like the woman right down here above Monroe. I think you probably read it in the paper. This girl, they suspect that she shot her own mother, killed her own mother, killed her father. This young girl just got upset, killed her father, and then met her mother coming up, walked out in the yard, stuck the gun in her face, and killed her. It appears to be that way. Well, that's what they're saying. See, devils and demons, look at the young people of today. They're doping themselves up in some way, going wild with their passions. Remember this young man, and you remember this young girl. You may go out here, young man, and you may molest a girl. And young lady, you may go out here, and you may indulge in something with a man. But don't forget that every time a boy and a girl does that, the virtues are gone. And then after a while, there's no virtuous girls and there's no virtuous boys, and all of them's a bunch of whoremongers and all of them's a bunch of harlots. And then when you get ready to marry, you're going to marry one of them. Don't forget that. When you get ready to marry, you're going to marry one of them. When you take the virtue from all the boys and girls, when you get ready to look for a wife, you're going to get a whore. And when you get ready to get a husband, you're going to get a whoremonger. See, you're going to marry one of them. And then when you proudly walk down the street with your little bride, and you think so much of her, the other boy's going to nudge somebody and say, yeah, I know all about her. The girl, she's going to crack a joke with somebody else and say, she got him after I got through with him. See, and that's the kind of life you're going to have. That's why today so many hundreds and thousands and millions of people are separated, and that's why that they can't come together and can't live together and can't have homes. They've done gone wild with their bodies, wild with their passions, wild with their thinking, wild with their doing. They won't listen to God. And so then they just got a mixed up, mingled, mushy mess of the whole thing. That's the condition they're in today. And they can't live together. Their conscience is seared with a hot iron. They've got these weights upon them. These oppressing devils are there to remind them. And they're just driven out of their minds. Why don't you come to God? Why don't you get out of the mire? Why don't you quit licking the vomit? Why don't you come to God and let God bless you and let God put you into the kingdom of God and let God make you part of this wonderful body of Christ? Why don't you do that? I'm going to say a few more things here and I'm going to try to close. I've tried each night not to hold you very long. A lot of things I'd like to say, folks, because I love to get into the deepness of the revelation of God and get into those great mysteries. You know, Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness, and I'm one of the stewards. And God has shared many hundreds, thousands of things with me. Well, I want you to know tonight that you can do like David of old. God will take away your sins. Maybe it won't take your life. Maybe it won't take your soul. See, God can take it away. But folks, when you do things that's unlike Christ, and you do things unlike Jesus, you do these things when you know that isn't the pleasure of the Lord and you hurt Him. You despise Him. You despise His commandment. And you injure Him. And you injure His cause. And then you give occasion for somebody to mock. Somebody says,
Isn't that the minister's daughter? Oh, no, that couldn't be. Oh, yes, it is. Isn't that the minister's son? Or isn't that the deacon's daughter? Or isn't that, I thought that was that the man over here that was so devout. Isn't that his child? See, and then you give occasion. And then you have it to pay for. Every transgression must be paid for. You say, how close is this thing, Brother Pike? The casting down of imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ to the extent that we're meditating day and night in His law. How devout then should I be, Brother Pike? You should be like Jesus. Brother Taylor sings that song, to be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like Him. So to be like Jesus, hallelujah. To think about Him. You know, tonight while we're here, enter into His courts with thanksgiving, into His gates with praise. You come in here tonight, we're sitting together tonight talking about the lovely things of God. Just thinking tonight, saying, oh my God, let me think about Jesus. Let me be like Jesus. Let my life be filled with Jesus. Give me more of Jesus. Let me meditate in Jesus. Let me rejoice in Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory. Let me be like Jesus. Let me praise the Lord. Let me be like Him. You know, just to think upon Jesus, to meditate in Jesus, to walk in Jesus, to tell people about Jesus. Everywhere you go, they say, my land, that's like having Jesus around right there. Every time I meet that person, every time I see him, oh, what a wonderful thing that would be. You know, every day of your life, folks, God will give you health, and God will give you happiness, and God will give you the desires of your heart. Hallelujah. I feel Him, don't you? Hallelujah. I feel Him. Glory to God. I feel the anointing of God right now. I feel His wonderful presence. Hallelujah. So then, to be like Jesus on earth, I long to be like Him. Hallelujah. I want you to stand with me. There's so many things that we could say tonight. A lot of things that we could say. Praise God. David said, I've run through a troop and leaped over a wall. Don't you feel like you could run through a troop and leap over a wall? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're God's children. Hallelujah. We're here tonight to worship the Lord. Isn't that right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You ever spoke in tongues? It's all right to speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel Him at home in His body. You know what? Folks, we got to come to the realization that we don't just go around having faith in our heart. That's not what we're doing. We've got God in these earthen vessels. Heavenly treasure in these earthen vessels. Can you picture that? That God is in me tonight? That God is in me? That the great God of heaven and earth that made all of the world, that made me, that He's inside of me right here, standing right here with you folks? Somebody said, well, I believe I got God, Brother Pike. Well, do you just believe that you believe that you got God? Or deep down in your heart, have you had an experience with God to where you know that Christ is living in your human body? Do you believe God is living in your human body? Folks, I'm telling you the truth. God Almighty dwells in human bodies. It says if any man deny that Christ is come in the flesh, then that man is Antichrist. I say that Christ has come in the flesh. I say that Christ is here in the flesh tonight. Hallelujah. If you believe that, raise your hand. Christ is here tonight. God Almighty is here tonight inside of my human body. Inside of my human body. Behold, John in his great revelation as he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he said, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. Do you believe it's among men tonight? Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, you believe it's among men tonight? Hallelujah. The tabernacle of God. See, it's among men tonight. I want us to sing a little chorus together. I appreciate your kind attention and you observing the Word of God. I just love to talk about Jesus. Don't you love to talk about Jesus? Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus, can we? To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, on the earth alone,
just to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like Him. Sing it with me now. From Bethlehem's manger came forth the stranger. On the earth I long just to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask just to be like Him. Do you love the Lord tonight? All right, let's sing this little chorus. While we sing this little chorus, I want you to think on the Lord tonight now. I want you to just stop and think. Try another one, Dawn.
Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you.
Sing it one more time.
Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you.
All right, let's sing this little chorus together. And while we're singing this together, if you'd like to come to the altar tonight, you may.
Oh, come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart, Lord Jesus, just come in to stay, come in today, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Oh, come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Oh, come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Let's sing this little song, Sweep Over My Soul. And while we're singing it, I want you to gather around the altar tonight. Let's sing it together.
Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over
my soul. Can you sing with me like this? For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved evermore. Can you sing it one more time with me? For we have anchored our souls in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved evermore. I want you to close your eyes with me now. Close your eyes and let's lift our hands together. Can we do that now? Just, if you love Jesus tonight, folks, it doesn't matter what church you belong to. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're ignorant or whether you're educated. It doesn't matter. The thing is, do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? See, if you love Jesus, that makes everything right. That makes up for all the difference. Do you love Jesus? Do you really love Jesus tonight? If you do, let's lift our hands up tonight. And let's close our eyes tonight. You that are under the tent, let's lift our hands up tonight and close our eyes. And you that are not under the tent tonight, let's lift our hands up. And let's close our eyes tonight in reverence and respect for the great, wonderful Savior, Jesus, the great, mighty God of heaven and of earth. He cares for you tonight. Though we're but specks in the universe, yet God cares for you tonight. God cares for you tonight. God wants to bless you tonight. God wants to give you that special blessing tonight. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah tonight? God wants to give that special blessing tonight. God wants to do something for you tonight. It's up to you, folks. While you've got your hands up tonight, I want to pray for you. I want to ask God to do something for you tonight. Will you believe with me tonight? Will you put iniquity out of your heart tonight? The Bible said thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God, and they've held thee back from great good things that God hath for you. Not that God's hand is short. He can reach you. Hallelujah. So then let's lift our hands up tonight, and let's lift our voices up to the Lord. And while I pray with you tonight, I want you to pray. I want you to pray out loud tonight. I want you to call on the name of the Lord tonight. I want you to worship the Lord tonight while I'm praying with you tonight. I want you to believe tonight. I want you to decree a thing in your heart tonight that God may bring it to pass in your life tonight. Hallelujah. Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, I pray for these people tonight. God, I pray for the healing of their bodies tonight. Father, that you may heal their bodies tonight. God, move cancer out. Father, move TB out. Father, move oppression away. Drive the spirits away tonight. Oh, God, bring forth of your Son's blessing tonight upon these people. I want you to heal them tonight, Father. God, to give them the desires of their heart tonight. Father, you said those that we bless would be blessed. And God, we bless these people tonight in the name of Jesus. Dear God, I bless these people tonight. Father, pour out of your Spirit upon them tonight. I ask you to bless them in Jesus' name. God, in Jesus' name tonight, I ask you to take every trouble out of their life. Every heartache out of their life. Every danger out of their path, oh God. Bring God into their heart. Bring life into their bodies, into their spirits tonight. Oh God, to make them feel the mighty anointing of God tonight. Dear God, to use them as an individual tonight. Father, to let them know that you want to use them as an individual tonight. Every person tonight, God, let them know that you want them to use, want them to be used of God tonight. And Father, that you've got a special work for them. Lord, in this last hour, God, make them to get up in a great way tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Make them to go forth tonight God is a great and a mighty army. Father, in a great way tonight, help them to lift up their hands and heads and hearts tonight. God, in praise unto your wonderful name. Lift up your hands tonight. Let's love the Lord. Come on, folks. Lift up your hands. Let's praise God. Let's give God a good hand tonight. Let's praise Him tonight. Hallelujah, brother.